Where kingdom advances. We're part of the kingdom. We're powerful in God. And we're to move out with his power. And what else are we? What glory carriers. We've got to recognize that and to keep moving forward. You know, so that we're actually the hands, the feet, the voices of God as we move forward to demonstrate the kingdom. I started a series of words a few weeks ago, ups and downs. And I started off with the saying, time marches on and waits for no man. It's 2 weeks since Easter. Well, since then, another 4 weeks have shot by. 1 week, we looked at part two of the ups and downs. Then we had a word, we had Gareth and Winston. Winston from the Philippines. Then we had Ian last weekend for an amazing weekend. But things go in the distant past, don't they? Can you remember what was being said 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago? I know Jackie's just looking back in her notebook because she'll have copious notes there of what's been said. So I've got to make sure I've got it right. Yeah. Yeah. But I wanted to give us a memory refresh. And I was asking you to try and use your imaginations. And that's not wrong, you know. God wants us to imagine. Some people say, oh, well, your imagination can leave you astray. But is that right? When we look at Isaiah 62, sorry, should have had it opened up, shouldn't I? Isaiah 62. When I get the right reference. I was thinking that didn't read right. I have spread out my hands all the day long to a rebellious and stubborn people who walk in the way that is not good, following after their own thoughts and intentions. Thoughts and intentions, their own thoughts. The ESV says devices. The NIV says our imagination. We can let our thoughts lead us astray. We can imagine wrongly. But look what it follows. It follows verse 1. Surprise, surprise. I let myself be sought by those who did not ask for me. I let myself be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here am I to the nation which did not call on my name. God sought. He found. He revealed himself even to those who weren't looking for him. They couldn't accept or receive God and thought humanly. This is a negative view of imagination. But counter that with Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. The NIV simply puts it, all we ask or imagine. Paul is telling us, whatever we think about, God can go beyond our thoughts. Beyond our imagination. But we're to exercise our imagination. And another word for that is we're to dream about it. God's saying, come on, dream about these things. You know, in the right spirit, think, dream about things. So let us think about, let us imagine, let's dream what it must have been like. See, David's already alluded to it there as we're taking communion. Think about what it was like being with Jesus. How fantastic must that have been? Sometimes dangerous, but most of the time I would say exciting, as Jesus was showing him the different ways. When we think, we looked at like the men on the road to Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us? We're told in his presence is fullness of joy. But Jesus had been taken from them, and cruelly killed. The worst death that there could be. And Jesus endured it. But then he came back. He was truly dead, but then he was alive again. And he kept coming and going. And I was saying, just try and put yourselves in that position where one minute you're lifted high. He's back. He's with us. He's speaking to us. He's shown us things again. The master's here. And then he disappears. And where's he gone? And the times changed. It was 3 days before he was on the day after, he was crucified. Then he appeared in the garden. 3 days. Then he appeared to the disciples. And then it was more time. It was 8 days before he appeared. And the interval seems to get longer between the times. Why? Because he was training them. He was teaching them. Because he wanted them to stand on their feet. He wanted them to understand their faith fully. He wanted them to get past the emotion. He's gone. He's here. He's gone. He's here. We know that in our walk, don't we? Sometimes we feel very close to God. And other times we're thinking, where's he gone? How often have you said, he's not listening. I've prayed, but he's not listening. He is listening, but he's teaching us. Jesus had told them to wait. We're not very good at that. But again, as Steph said, about a passion, you know, that's active. Waiting is an active thing. That's what Jesus was saying here when he said, wait for me. Activity, focus, think, share what's been happening. Share together, stimulate each other together, lift each other up, encourage each other, remind each other. Faith is what we believe. Jesus, in the third recorded appearance, said to Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This is important. Even though we don't see, we are to believe. The Amplified with its expanded view, showing us the different meanings of the Hebrew words, says, blessed, happy, spiritually secure, and favored by God are those who did not see me and yet believe in me. Do you realize that's us? We didn't see Jesus. And I said, doubt are doubts and believe are beliefs. Jesus is telling us he can do far more than our limited thinking. He can go further than our limited experiences. God is doing a new thing. We heard that last week a number of times, didn't we? Yeah. God is doing a new thing. We are to use the eyes of faith to see into the unseen. And the outcome of seeing into the unseen, into the spirit realm, is that we will be blessed, that we will be happy, that we will be spiritually secure, and we will be favored by God. When new things come along, we have a choice. And what is our default mode? Is it belief or is it doubt? Luke, when he was writing the book of Acts, and in Acts 17, Paul was facing opposition in Thessalonica. They wouldn't believe the message that he was bringing. It was a message about Jesus, a message about salvation. But they wouldn't believe. Why wouldn't they believe? Because it was something new. They didn't understand. It was something that they hadn't experienced. So they got to the stage, not only wouldn't they believe Paul, they got to the stage they were going to stone him. So the believers got him and sent him to Berea. And we see in Acts 17 and verse 11, it talks about the Bereans. Now these people were more noble and open-minded than those in Thessalonica. So they received the message of salvation through faith in Christ with great eagerness. Remember, this was new to them. They hadn't heard it, they hadn't seen it, they hadn't experienced it, but they received it with great eagerness. And it says, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. The King James says, received the word with readiness of mind. They were open and receptive to the message of salvation. Now, salvation, as we know, is not just a message about being saved from sin. Salvation is sozo, and all that sozo encompasses: healing, deliverance, health, prosperity, and all the different things that sozo means. And that's what they were looking to receive. It's all encompassing is salvation. It's not just one aspect. What does God want of us to see? I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? They received it and they examined the scriptures to see if it was so. How do we approach things? What is our attitude of mind? Because our attitude of mind at the beginning can shape what we do and what we believe. If we can hear something new and then just straight away say, I don't believe that, that's not true, and then go and pick up the Bible and start looking for verification, we can very soon say, oh, well, look, the Bible doesn't believe that. It doesn't say that. It doesn't believe that. And it shapes our thinking. If we go with an attitude of belief, we will see that the Bible is saying, yes, that's right. Yeah. When we saw Jesus, when he approached Thomas there in John 20, he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but stop doubting and believe. You see, previously Thomas had said to the other disciples, I shall not believe until I touch his wrists and his side. But Jesus is saying, no, you should have believed what you were told. Believe, do not be unbelieving. That's a command. Do not be unbelieving. Stop doubting and believe. He appeared to Thomas. And you could say, this is something miraculous. Somebody who was dead, who they knew was dead, had been dead in the tomb and sealed in, he appears. It was unheard of. They had never experienced it before. Yes, we've seen heard of people in the Old Testament that had been raised from the dead, but they hadn't been dead 3 days. Yeah. And it's very rarely. He says, don't be unbelieving. Stop doubting and believe. We saw in the downtime, what were they thinking about? And we saw, I said, do you think that she said, they remember Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Jesus being our spiritual food. Jesus saying, who's the water of life? And causing the streams of living water to well up and gush forth from them. Can you sense the excitement as they're talking with each other? Do you remember this? Do you remember that? Oh, when he did this, wasn't it wonderful? You know, and it's freshening in their minds. And that's the whole intention of this wait, to freshen in the minds the faith that they had at the time when Jesus was with them. Do you think it's possible that as night was beginning to fall in the upper room, as they were together, as they were reminiscing, as Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, was bringing things back to their memory to teach them to be more deep in their faith, do you remember what he said to them, which was recorded in John 8? Once more, Jesus addressed the crowd. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. But you notice what happens is Jesus says that to them. It comes on. And the Pharisees afterwards, straight away, they're in unbelief. They're in doubt. They wouldn't listen. They argued again. And again, the stones were being picked up. Did that mean because the Pharisees didn't believe it, it was beyond their limited experience that it wasn't true? Of course not. Jesus is the spiritual light. Or do you think it could be another time? Do you remember that blind guy? Do you remember that blind guy that Jesus touched? Can you remember his response? While he was passing by, he noticed a man who had been born blind. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed and illustrated in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world, giving guidance through my word and works. Then Jesus spat on the ground, rubbed some clay into the guy's eyes and said, go and wash at the pool of Siloam. And so he went, and then you know the discourse afterwards. They wouldn't believe when he came back. Is that guy? Is that blind beggar? They wouldn't believe it. And they kept arguing. Total unbelief. But the blind man knew he could see. The doubters, the unbelievers, the ones in denial, the Pharisees, were then rebuked by the so-called illiterate blind man. Look at his response. Verse 30. This man replied, "Well, this is astonishing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know, according to your tradition, that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone fears God and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man was not from God, he would not be able to do anything like this, because God would not hear his prayer." That's his response. And even after that, even after he'd spoken the truth, unbelief still blinded them. They could see with their eyes. Of course, it was the same guy. They'd just seen him a few minutes earlier. And they could see. He could see. But they answered him, "You are born entirely in sin, from the head to the foot, and you presume to teach us?" Then they threw him out of the synagogue. That was their answer. Throw him out. Well, not having anything to do with his thought. He believed, got healed. They didn't, got rebuked. Jesus responds. Jesus heard that they'd put him out of the synagogue, and finding him, he asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and in fact, he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe in you and your word." And he worshipped him with reverence and awe. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, to separate those who believe in me from those who reject me, to declare judgment on those who choose to be separated from God, so that they're sightless, so that the sightless would see, and those who see would be blind." Faith is something often referred to as blind faith. We believe because we believe. Don't doubt what God's doing. Embrace it. It's often in the stepping out that we get greater revelation. Those of you who have had prophetic words, those that have had songs, those who have had words of knowledge, you'll have heard it testified. Often, they've got one word or two words, but they believe God's saying, "Sing, speak," and you step out in faith. And the songs come. The prophecies come. That's faith. Stepping out when we don't know what's following. Before we've got a chance to get the mind in the way to pollute what God's saying. It's a stepping forward. A stepping out in faith. Just find a place. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, to separate those who believe in me from those who reject me, to declare judgment on those who choose to be separated from God, so that the sightless would see and those who see would become blind." So some Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, If you were blind to spiritual things, you would have no sin and would not be blamed for your unbelief. But since you claim to have spiritual sight, you have no excuse, so your sin and your guilt remain." It's because they claimed to understand, but they stopped other people from seeing because of their unbelief in their unrighteous and unright claims. And Jesus said, you'll be blind. You'll not see because you're stuck in your unbelief. We could have it, to put it in an analogy, back to trains. We're on a train journey, and the train is going along, carrying on with the journey. But sometimes in our journeys, we don't understand. Sometimes we don't know where we're going. And do we say, well, I'm going to stop on the train and see where God's going to take me? Or we're going to say, I'm not doing this. I want to get put in the siding. Keep on in the truth that we know, or the bit, the limited part we know, and not prepared to take on any more. Are we and say, right, that's it? Because if we put ourselves in the side, the train's going on, and the train will carry on, and you're left in the siding. You will stay where you are. The train of God, the journey with God, is moving on. There are new things every day that our God is revealing to us, and he wants us to keep going. To change an analogy again, you can't steer a ship in the harbour. It's got to be out in the open sea to steer. Jesus is the truth. He's the light. That's an important truth for us to get hold of. That Jesus is the light. The light of the world. Hey, do you remember when God spoke? Disciples again talking. Wasn't that something? We're in John 12 now. Now my soul is troubled and deeply distressed. What shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour of trial and agony. But it is for this very purpose that I have come to this hour. Rather, I will say, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd of people who stood nearby and heard the voice said that it thunders. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world, Satan, will be cast out. And if I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will on the cross, will draw all people to myself, Gentiles as well as Jews. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. At this the crowd answered him, who had heard from the, we have heard from the law that the Christ is to remain forever. How then can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, the light is among you only for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light. Keep on living by it, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. He is drifting aimlessly. When you have the light, believe and trust in the light. Have faith in it, hold on to it, rely on it, so that you may become sons of light, being filled with light as followers of God. You know, Jesus hadn't finished what he was saying, and the doubters came in straight away. But Jesus says, come on, when you've got the light, hold on to the light. Don't let the doubters come back again. Even though he had done so many signs, miracles right before them, they still did not believe and trust in him. You can read that passage yourself. You can see what I'm saying. The way it's coming in, Jesus is speaking. The doubters are coming in. Jesus speaks. The doubters come in. You're the hard-hearted. And what the result of that, God tells them. Jesus tells them, that would cause spiritual darkness, doubt, those that have been doubting and believe, they're not going to get out of it. That's going to condemn them. And there was an opportunity. Just let me get another place here. Jesus has spoken out. He's gone through there. He's been saying different things. They're not believing him. They won't listen to him. And then Jesus, he quotes Isaiah. He has blinded their eyes and he hardened their hearts to keep them from seeing with the eyes and understanding with the hearts. And from being converted, from being accepting salvation. God says for those that are doubting, he's going to cause the eyes to be blinded, the heart to be hardened, and salvation is going to be difficult. But it goes on to say, lest they see. There's an opportunity to do that. There's an opportunity to receive Jesus, there's an opportunity to believe what he's doing. And we've got 42. For those that won't believe, they're given the opportunity, but there we see, nevertheless, even many of the leading men believed in him as Savior and Messiah. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess it for fear that if they acknowledged him, they would be put out of the synagogue. So we see fear of man is stopping people rising up and following Jesus, believing Jesus. And that's something that we were dealing with last Saturday, isn't it? Fear of man. That was one of the things that we said we wanted to be rid of. You know, so it's a case that we can actually say to Jesus, yeah, I say to other people, we're believers in Jesus. We're Christians. Do you know what God can do for you? Step out. Can I pray for you? Do you want to be healed? Because God will heal you. 3 times it's recorded, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. We have the choice. Do we receive or do we reject? If we reject, our judgment, our rejection judges us. Let us look to and receive the light of the world. We're told the mysteries of the kingdom are hidden for us to discover, not hidden from us to keep us in the dark. But we need the light to reveal the truths. If you would like, use your imagination again in a cave at night with only a candle. The candle can only illuminate so much. And as we look out, it gets progressively darker as you look out. And we can look and see in the semi-darkness that there's something there. But we neither believe it, or we can say it's nothing real. It doesn't matter. We can stay in our limited experience. We can stay in the comfort zone. We can stay in the little pool of light, or we can walk with the light further into the darkness and let the light illuminate more. That's a choice we've got. Are we going to stay with the experience that we have got of God now? Or are we prepared to say, Lord, I'm coming with you on this journey. And I'm going to step out in your light. And as I'm stepping out, as I'm moving forward, you're going to show me new things. You're going to illuminate new things. You're going to reveal new things. You're going to get me to do new things. Things that I haven't done in the past. Things that I haven't thought were possible. But with you, Lord, all things are possible. And I'm going to step out trusting you in faith. We have got to get to that stage that we want to see the mysteries. We want to see the new things. We're not satisfied where we are. We want to embrace more. Things that we don't understand, yeah. Things that we haven't analyzed, yeah. Because if we ask, we will get the revelation in the going. That can be a mindset that we can actually refuse to take. Or a mindset that says we are going to embrace. Jesus said, believe. Paul said, believe. Smith Wigglesworth said, only believe. And I'll stand here now and say, I wouldn't mind being one miracle behind Smith Wigglesworth. But I think his view for us would, I want you with more miracles than me. I mean, when we look at some of the things that Smith did, they're not recorded in the Bible. Where does it say you pick a dead man up, you slam him against the wardrobe, come alive, and he comes alive? Where does it say where he picked it, stood to make a lady stand up, and she fell down? 3 times she fell down. The third time, when he got her up off the floor, the cancerous tumor laid on the floor and she stood up without it. Where's that written down? And loads of other instances. Where is it written in Scripture? I'll tell you where it's written in Scripture. It says, pray for the sick. And it means pray whichever way God tells you at the time. And it's forest or whatever it is. It's as God says, at the time we act. We don't go away and analyze it and think, oh, is that God or isn't it God? We step out in faith because God will meet us as we step out. If we analyze it, that's not faith. That's unbelief. That's doubting that God is speaking to us. Jesus, thank you. You are the light of the world. That you reveal things to us. New things that you're doing. New things that you expect us to see, to pick up, and to move with, to recognize, and to embrace. Thank you, Lord. You tell us in your word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Thank you, Lord, for the Logos and the Rhema to guide us. Help us to embrace them both. Help us to get hold of the spoken word and move on it as you give us it, Lord. Not to go away and come back a week later and say, well, I'm going to do that. Because we can miss the moment. We can be in a place where God is saying, right, I want you to do this now. And you can leave it for a length of time and go to do it and nothing happens. Why? Because God says, I told you to do it then.
Yes, right.
And we've got to keep up with his time schedule, not with ours. Only believe. Stepping forward in what God gives us. Father, give us the courage. Yes. Give us give us the faith. The empowerment to hear from you and to go and do. Thank you, Lord. Amen.